If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Tim Wilms right now with his report from the Lucky Continent. Tim, nice to have you back.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be back, but I don't have very good news because, it's going to be a bit of a Tech Tuesday report.
We've
got digital ID formally passed the federal parliament last week, which our assistant treasurer, Stephen Jones, said it would be both voluntary and mandatory, which...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because the way that... Well, it'll be voluntary and... It'll be voluntary if you want to basically not have a bank account or be connected to any utilities.
That's like saying you've got to have a jab if you want to keep your job and don't lose your house.
The COVID, the vaccine passports and the QR code check-in was basically a soft digital ID launch. So they claim that this will be convenient, that even though this is storing all your digital information in, it's sort of a bit like the Lord of the Rings, the one digital ID to rule them all. So they'll all be centralized in, because of course the federal government never gets hacked. That never happens.
No. Okay. I would have thought that there would have been more pushback against this. What happened?
Well, in the House of Representatives, the Liberal and National Coalition did vote against it, but they just said it's because they didn't like this form. I mean, if Scott
Morrison... So they still want it. Yeah, they want
it. If Scott Morrison had been re-elected, we would still get it, a digital ID. We'd still get a mis- and disinformation bill passed, because this was... all of these things were drafted under the coalition government, and have they, of course, passed the Online Safety Act, which has empowered the eSafety Commissioner to go after Twitter X with the various takedown notices. And it looks like a digital ID to use social media, this seems like it'll be the big way to get people to sign up for a digital ID, because there is this push now by the politicians and the mainstream media to restrict young people's access to social media. The South Australian Premier Peter Malinauskas last week, I announced that he would pass a law to restrict social media accounts for those under 14. And News Corporation, who published all of the major tabloids in the major cities, they launched on the weekend, the Let Them Be Kids campaign. They want the social media age raised to 16. Now, of course, you've got to follow self-interest here, because if under 16s can't get news from social media, the internet, then they're going to have to read a News Corp newspaper.
That's rubbish. No 16-year-old's got to read a newspaper. They're not interested in news. They can give a damn. This is the thin end of the wedge to drive the setup that is needed to do this to adults, surely.
Yes, in the name of protecting the children. Now, we all want to protect children from the harms of social media. In my opinion, and a lot of your listeners will agree, there needs to be more parental responsibility, because part of what is affecting the generation from today is that a lot of parents aren't interested in parenting.
I don't know about that, because you've got to also factor in the grind of life to make enough of a living. You need two people at work. You know, so this is, it's not just a willful neglect by parents. It doesn't leave much time to actually be a parent. This is why it's so evil.
Well, it's also governments that have pushed female workforce participation, that women can have it all, which I'm not going to get into that. But obviously, the children still need to be raised. And the government puts all these subsidies into daycare. And so with both parents working, the children are dumped in daycare to be raised by the state. And of course, the government is not going to say, oh, we want parents to be parents again. They will say, yes, we will protect your children for you, because government's not going to tell parents things that they don't want to hear. They're going to reassure parents that we're going to do everything that we can to do your job for you. So obviously, there's a lot. We had a brief discussion here about why this is the case, that, and a lot of parents also use digital devices to as a means to entertain their children.
Well, I used to put my kids in front of the TV, go watch Lion King again for the
fun. Yeah, this is the thing as well. There's a lot of parental culpability in this, but of course the government's never going to say that. Of course they're going to say, yes, we're going to make the internet safe for your children, but the only way to restrict the children accessing social media is through a digital ID. That's the bit that's sort of in the terms and conditions.
Yeah, they'll buy it. The people will buy it. Sad. Another conspiracy that's come true.
Oh, well, they bought it during COVID. They all gladly downloaded in Victoria, it was the Service Victoria app. You can now get your digital driver's license. Yeah. So people are re-downloading that Service Victoria app again.
Oh, dear. All right, before we move out of this, Digital Safety Commissioner, she's been in the news, obviously, up against
Elon Musk. Yes,
Julie Inman-Grant.
She's going to be part of the age verification trials, $6.5 million in the recent federal budget. So the eSafety Commissioner has a roadmap to age verification.
Oh, a roadmap to age verification. Hasn't information been uncovered about her? And
Federal court case that X Corp brought against the eSafety Commissioner against her takedown notice for the weekly church stabbing by that Islamist teen who his parents let him on a digital device in his room for hours and hours.
Right.
Night.
Yeah. He radicalized himself, did he? Is that what happened?
Well, the parents, they allowed him to be on that digital device every time at night. I just thought I'd make the point with that. Going back to this, the eSafety Commissioner is compiling lists. It was revealed in this this federal court case, compiling daily lists of people who criticize her.
Oh, okay. Well, she sounds like a certain type of person, right?
Well, yes.
Fair to say?
Want to be tyrant.
Yeah. Wants to control the world, it seems, because she wanted to block that footage from the entire world.
It can be sidestepped with a VPN.
Crikey. All right, our federal budget. You've got a surplus. How did that happen?
Well, it's due to the Western Australian mining boom picking up again. So Australia is quite... Well, we are the lucky country in terms of with these resources in the ground that the rest of the world wants, and it's also what is an industry that emits a lot of carbon as well, which Labor governments want to crack down on, and they always want to shut down the things that in the end give them the most revenue.
Yeah, but it's not about things succeeding, is it?
No, but they'll still take the money at the end of the day. Right. But there's going to be in the Ford estimates, there's going to be tens of billions of deficits. So there's still going to be a structural deficit because of Social Security, healthcare, the NDIS, the National Disability Insurance Scam, as I call it.
Yeah. Okay, and what about the opposition? There's a bit of a, bidding war, a downward bidding war on immigration, is there?
Yes, so housing affordability and the cost of living is, well, that is what is front of mind for the public. And so the Labor government, they are pledging to cut immigration from 395,000 this financial year down to 260,000. Peter Dutton, in his budget reply, the opposition leader, said that he would cut net overseas migration to 160,000. And he'd also ban for 2 years foreigners buying existing homes. Now, this is important to note here that foreigners can buy new properties. So apart, we're still having all of these apartment towers.
Is that because Aussies can't afford them?
Apartment towers, well.
Well, new builds, you know.
Oh, well, there's a lot of these new apartment towers, townhouses, they can be snapped up by foreigners. Like, a lot of existing properties, they're being flattened and developed. So if I would say if Peter Dutton wanted to get really serious, it would be a 2-year ban on foreigners buying any property.
Yeah. Okay. And what about these sheep exports? What's all that about? We don't have, so I don't think we have them.
There's $107 million in the federal budget to compensate live sheep exporters because there is a ban coming in on live sheep exports in 2028. Now, this will affect the Western Australian economy the most. In response, five state Labor MPs, they have advocated there be more, exploring, advocating for alternate proteins such as tofu, algae, and bugs. So a digital ID is coming, and so is Eat the Bugs as well, because that'll be good for the climate. Meat eating is associated with toxic masculinity. So if men eat less meat, apparently that'll lead to less domestic violence.
What? This is getting so crazy. People are seriously saying that, are they? Really?
Yes, this is a group of five state Labor MPs. They're in government at the moment. Well, clearly they've adopted the World Economic Forum's agenda. So it's all filtering down to the Australian governments and the states. And I don't believe that they can ever make it attractive to eat bugs. I know that Nicole Kidman did a video a couple of years back having a 3-course meal of bugs. No matter how many celebrity endorsements they get, they're not going to make it glamorous, sexy to eat bugs.
These people are insane. I can't talk about this anymore. Let's move on. John Bisciuto settled legal action.
Yes.
What has he settled and what's still outstanding for him?
Yeah, so, of course, the Victorian opposition leader, John Bisciuto, in response to the Women's Speak event in March of last year, 2023, Kelly J. Keane, during a tour of Australia at the Melbourne event, which was attended by Victorian Liberal MLC Moira Deeming, Thomas Sewell and the National Socialist Network turned up. And so John Bisciuto, in a panic, decided to move a motion to expel Moira Deeming from the Liberal Parliamentary Party room. He succeeded on the second attempt. He said that Kelly J. Keane was associated with neo-Nazis. Moira Deeming, Kelly J. Keane, and a local Let Women Speak activist and host of Turf Talk, Angela Jones, sued him for defamation. So at midnight on Friday, he published on his website an apology to Kelly J. Keen and Angela Jones, calling them passionate women's rights activists, and said that I recognize there have been times when my comments could have been more clearly differentiated between the organizers and the neo-Nazis. It's never been my intention to convey that Miss Keane, Miss Jones, to be neo-Nazis or that they are members of neo-Nazi groups. So the next day at a press conference, though, John Pesciuto wouldn't read out the statement himself. He said it was drafted by the lawyers. You can read it on my website. His defamation action, brought against him by exiled Liberal MP Maura Deeming seems to be going ahead and will be in the federal court in September. Now, even when the Allen Labor government should be on the ropes because of their horror budget, we're on track for $188 billion in net debt. All the cost blowout infrastructures are going ahead, suburban rail loop for 15-minute cities, the North East Link. He's still shooting himself in the foot.
Well, I hope he gets drop-kicked by Maura Deeming in court. I think that would be good. I'm starting, my blood pressure's going, I'm hearing all this sort of stuff. It's not even our country. Okay.
Sorry, it's going to be raised a bit more because following up, From my report last week about the Cumberland City Council in Western Sydney, which at its council meeting of May the 1st voted to remove a same-sex parenting book from its council libraries. Now, at the most recent council meeting on the 15th of May, it was clear because the Minns Labor state government had threatened to withdraw funding from the library. And so calls had been made to the Labor councillors and the fix was in. So after a four-hour council meeting, the Cumberland City Council voted 12-2 to revoke the removal of the same-sex parenting book. And so the only two who voted for it was the councillor who moved the original motion, Steve Christou, and another independent councillor. But all the Labor MPs, including the Muslim Labor councillor, Mohammed Hussein, he said an hour before the vote that homosexuality was against his religion, and so he would be voting against. But now later he voted for the removal.
How does that happen?
Oh, well, clearly maybe he got a text message which made him change his mind.
What a spineless fool.
Well, it seemed that his religious principles, they could be compromised.
Hey, it's not looking good for Australia right now, mind you.
There was the local Pride in Protest group in Sydney. They travelled from the inner city down to Cumberland to protest. They were met by mainly men of Middle Eastern appearance because that is the demographic of the Cumberland City Council area. And they mainly chanted these men. There are a few women as well, mothers and grandmothers, leave the kids alone. And local journalist Chris Coveries, he snapped a gallery of a lot of the freaks who'd come from the city.
You mean the zombie apocalypse?
Yes, to intimidate the council.
Oh, wow. And it's all about bullying, the issue of bullying, and we need to...
Well, that's supposedly what the book is about, not bullying their children of same-sex parents, but they were able to basically intimidate this council. There was strong-arming...
Bully the council.
There was no Liberal politician who spoke up in defence of this Council, no conservative pundits either. Sky News pundits Andrew Bolt and Aaron Mullen decried the book ban, as they called it, which, of course, the book is not banned. If you're so desperate, you can actually get it for free online.
Oh, dear. And let's finish up on pro-Palestinian activists. They invaded. They made a little mini invasion of what?
The Victorian Labor State Conference at Moonee Valley Racecourse, and they were not expecting it. The Labor organizers of their state conference, because they stormed the main conference room, they pushed a security guard on the escalator. The Premier Jacinta Allen, she had to take cover in a private conference room. The CFMEU officials, they had to basically go into enforcement mode until the police arrived. And according to the Premier Jacinta Allen, there was not just anti-Semitism at the front door of the state conference. There was also homophobia as well. And a lot of people.
How did that get included?
Well, a lot of people didn't believe Jacinta Allen and the Labor officials who were there because, well, remember, they called the freedom protesters Nazis. So the next day there was the Stop the Hate Mate rally against anti-Semitism Never Again. And there are also there the pro-Palestinian protesters, and they're a mix of the local Antifa socialists and the hardcore Islamists. And one of them shouted at one of the Jewish people who were there, "Kippa wearing faggot."
Oh, dear.
And we had the Victorian Greens kicked out of the state parliament for wearing kafalas, the Palestinian tea towel. Although Pauline Hanson, she got turfed out of she was told to remove her Israeli scarf from the Senate. In my opinion, only the pro-Australian green and gold should be allowed in our federal parliamentary chambers.
Sounds like the wheels are falling off slowly.
Well, one of Anthony Albanese has tried to draw a line under from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, saying it's inflammatory. But then one of his own senators, Fatima Payman, she was elected at the last election, she's an Afghan refugee, wears the hijab, said in federal parliament, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Oh, dear. And I guess some of those protesters would, apart from the Greens, would naturally be supporters of Labor or voters that Labor would target. So there's something.
Well, Labor, they still want the votes of the electorates where there's a substantial Muslim population. And they're also, they've come out openly opposing Peter Dutton's proposed cut in migration numbers, even though they're proposing their own cut in immigration numbers, saying that, oh, it'll cost the budget billions. Talked about the effect on the higher education sector, even though the Albanese government wants to cap international students. And it's clear the next election that because nobody courts the migrant vote better than Labor, they're basically going to say, don't vote for Peter Dutton because he wouldn't want you in Australia in the first place. So make sure you vote for us. So
okay, yeah, boy, that's pretty binary. Okay, and just curious, the protesters, do they look kind of the same? Are they from central casting, you know, like the others we were talking about?
Like I said, they're a mixture of the local Antifa who protest climate, trans issues. Though I'm not sure if it's the Antifa people or it's the Islamists who wear the kafalas over covering their faces as well. Of course, there's a lot of them who wear the COVID face masks. So I've actually noticed a few more COVID face masks going around because the evening news has said, oh, winter's coming, there's more COVID flu and RSV. And again, this is like the people who wear masks because the news told them to.
I don't know how I feel after that, Tim, because it sounds like things are sliding backwards and you know, there's a lot of tyranny potentially in what we've just been talking about, is sort of subject after subject. It all has its sort of place in there. So what are we to make of that?
And, economic times are tough as well. So, but obviously, as the saying goes, hard times create strong men. They're bad these days. But
oh, now, didn't someone have something about men not gathering in groups or something?
Oh yes, which reminds everyone of COVID restrictions. Apparently, if men don't gather. Because apparently that's all they talk about, men when they're together, about how to abuse women. So apparently that'll solve domestic and sexual violence against
women.
Hardly
ever comes up, man, I can tell you. All right, Tim, I know it's a bit of a quick one today. We're up against time, but thank you for reporting in. And that's, I'm just trying to think of how to describe that. That's depressing in a way to hear that that is all going when, you know, you like to have a bit of hope, especially when you've got Muslim councillors flipping votes, completely ignoring their religious beliefs in 1 hour. I don't know what you have to say to a person to make them flip like that in that sort of time, but it must have been something.
We will persevere, though. We're not going to let it get us all down.
We're going to fight the good fight. Tim Wilms beaming in from the unshackled.net in Melbourne. Thank you.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.